It is my joy to welcome you to today's podcast. Our prayer is that the Lord will minister to you in a special way during our time together.
Let's look to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this time and bring the word alive to us. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Anoint your servant this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, let me ask you, how many of you remember the last message I preached a couple of months ago? Anybody? Nobody remembered. You know what? I should preach like some preachers from South India. Just come and speak whatever comes to my mind. No, we work very hard. Last time I preached on was on the prodigal. How many of you remember the prodigal? All right. It's a story of a man who had two boys. And the younger boy comes to the father and says, you know, I want my share. And the father, remember, the share meant property. It was not a lot of money in the bank. A man's value, his dignity, his respect had to do with the wealth he owned in terms of land and cattle. So what it meant was this father had to sell property, and which affected his dignity and his respect in the society. He was willing to go through that because he will have less of a land. He sold and gave one third to the younger son, because two third always went to the elder brother. By the way, how many elder brother or sisters in the house? Let me see your hands. You are the first in your home. Can I ask you to stand? You are the first in your home. All right. You are the first one born in your home? Really? My message is about the elder brother. Please be seated. All right. The father obliges and he gives him his share. He takes and splurges it on while living. The word prodigal means one who is reckless in his spending, one who spends money wastefully. And the younger son spent his father's wealth recklessly. When the money had run out, there was a big famine in the land. And you know the story. He hired himself to a local man who asked him to go and feed his pigs. So here was a man from a respectable family feeding the pigs. And he longed for the food the pigs ate. And then the Bible says, when he came to his senses, he realized that many of my father's hired servants have enough and more. Here I am starving, struggling, pathetic, no dabbu. And he says, I'm going to prepare a speech. I'm going to go back to my father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please make me as one of your hired servants. And he comes back. When he comes back, the father runs, meets him, hugs him, kisses him, and reinstates him back, not as a servant, not as a hired servant, but as a son. Well, and the father throws up a big party in the celebration. Now, you almost feel like the story comes to a conclusion because all is well, son is back home, lost and found, now the father is celebrating. I mentioned that the first one in Luke chapter 15 was the parable of a lost sheep. The second was the parable of the lost coin. But I also mentioned the third one was not a parable. Jesus said there was a man. It was a real story of a man who had two sons. I also mentioned that the first parable was reflective of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. He's known as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And when the sheep is lost, he goes after the sheep. The second parable was reflective of the Holy Spirit, because he searches the deep things. The third story is reflective of God the Father. The Father doesn't go after the Son. He waits for the Son to come, because the Son goes in complete rebellion. The sheep was lost because of ignorance. The coin was lost because of negligence. But the Son was lost because of rebellion, because of willfully wanting to go away. Now, we will come to the second part, and there's one person that is never mentioned in the first part of the story, which is the elder brother. So we will read about the elder brother. Luke chapter 15, verse 25 to 32, please. I'm reading it. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. When his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, "Look," you know, he doesn't call his father, father, daddy. He says, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you." Everybody say the word slaving. "All these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." Your orders. "Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," everybody's son of yours, "when this son of yours who has squandered his property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Now I'm going to encourage you, every time you read God's word, focus on each word and see what the meaning is. That's the beauty of meditation. Don't just read the Bible. I know we have reading certificates, but I want you to study God's word. Just go through a little bit deeper and you will find the truths of God's word. I want to remind you, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, the scribes, and the teachers of the law. And he's telling these stories, these parables. These people were accusing him and calling him that he was a friend of sinners. He would go to the sinner's house. He would eat with them. And Jesus was telling them, and he was in fact challenging them to think about the amazing grace and mercy and love of the Father. I heard the story of a man who walks out into the street and gets an Uber taxi. And the driver says to him, "Perfect timing. You're just like Frank." The passenger said, "Frank? Who's Frank?" "Oh, Frank is the guy who did everything right all the time." The passenger said, "Well, there are some mistakes here and there. There are clouds over people." He said, no, not with Frank. "He's a terrific athlete. He can beat anyone. He can run faster than anyone. He can play the Wimbledon. He can defeat the champ. He can play the piano like a pro. There's more. He had memory like a computer. He could remember dates and names. He could remember birthdays and wedding anniversaries. He could fix anything in the house. Frank could do everything right all the time." The passenger said, "Wow, what a guy. Frank, he knew how to go quickly through a busy traffic. He knew the shortest way. He knew how to please a woman and to be respectful for a woman. He knew how to dress well. He was immaculate in his dressing. His shoes were polished. He looked sharp. He never made a mistake. No one could ever measure up to Frank." So the passenger asked him, "Well, how do you know him? When did you meet him?" And the driver said, "No, I never met him. He died, and I happened to marry his wife." Let me ask you, do you know anybody perfect? Are you married to someone perfect? Everyone is quiet. I want to talk about the older brother. The elder brother seems like the perfect guy. No mistake whatsoever. He never demanded the estate. He never gave his father a hard time. He never ran away from home. He never rebelled. He never disobeyed. He dutifully served his father, took care of the estate, took care of the hired servants, the people, the business. He was just minding his own work, just like a good Christian brother. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't you love the elder brother?" The older son was faithful. He was obedient. Well, one day he was coming back from the field and he heard music and dancing. And he inquired from the servants and they said, your younger brother has come home and the father has forgiven him. And threw a grand party in his celebration. And when he heard this, he reacted very differently. You know, you would probably think the elder brother should have been happy. Hey, my brother has come after so many years. Wow, my brother, I haven't seen him. I should go hug him. He's my brother. No, not this elder brother. Instead of being happy, he was deeply angry. He was visibly frustrated. He refused to join in the celebration. He confronts the father. And he complained that he's been overlooked and he's been treated unfairly. He said, look, all these years I have slaved for you. He didn't say, you know, I've been a nice son. He said, in his mind, he was a slave. I've slaved for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. I mean, for me, you're a boss. I'm a slave. But when this son of yours, I mean, he doesn't say when my younger brother. He says, when this son of yours, look at the way he thinks of it. When this son of yours comes home, you accept him, you forgive him, you throw a grand party in his name. Let me ask you, how would you have reacted if you were the elder brother? Would you have celebrated with the father? Would you have stopped the father? Would you be happy for your younger brother? Would you accept him back as your brother? Would you forgive him? I can probably assume the logic of the elder brother. You know, this guy, this younger brother of mine, he's a rebel. He gave a lot of pain to my father. He demanded the share. He went away to a far off country. He wasted his entire living with prostitutes. He has nothing left now. Kangal ho gaya. No dabbu left. And he's now planning a big drama so he can kind of, you know, patao my father again. All this is drama, crocodile tears. I hope my father sees through all of this. My father should not be naive. He should make him pay. If he wants to come and be like a hired servant, let him work for the next 10, 15 years as a hired servant. He shouldn't take anything that belongs to me. And everything that belongs here with the father actually belongs to me. Even the fattened calf. But I can't believe my father. He not only received him, he reinstated him back as a son. Absolutely no penance, no sentence of penalty. This is so unfair. I've been so good all these years. I've slaved for my father. I've not been even given a small goat for a mutton biryani. Why would my father completely forgive his younger son? I can't understand it. Why would he throw a party? Why would he kill the fattened calf? Why would he call all these people? 100, 200 people all celebrating, dancing and singing. I can't accept all this. I don't want to be part of this family where my brother is there. No way I can be part of this family. Would you agree with the elder brother? You know, the elder brother, even though he lived with the father, never truly understood the father. I'm saying this again. While he lived with the father, he never understood the father. I want to go a step further. He never loved the father. Never loved. He never knew his father. He could never understand why his father's heart was heavy. He never could understand why the father would go every day to the front door and he'll look to the main gate and look beyond into the street and he'll be standing there for hours together. He could never understand after a meal, why dad would go near the window and his eyes will be moist. There'll be a tear running down the eye. He could never understand why the father would spend few days sleepless. He'd be tossing back and forth. Sometime in the middle of the night, he's opening the door and he's going out into the garden, going near the main gate, which is several feet away. He could never understand the agony the father went through. Father never said a word, and the son never understood the father. There was something he was yearning for. This son could never understand what made his father happy. There was pain in the father's heart. There was deep pain. Not only did he not love the father, he never loved his brother. He never stopped his brother from saying, "Hey, are you an idiot? What kind of question is this? You want some money, you want a party, go. Just take some money. But why are you asking for an inheritance? Why are you asking for a share? Why are you expecting the father to be dead while he's still alive? You want a party, take a goat or two. Go take some money, go to a city. Roam around, come back after 3 days or 1 week." He never understood his brother. He never loved his brother. He never told his father, "Daddy, you wait here. Wherever he is, I'm going to go. I'm going to plead with him. I'm going to request him to come back home. Because you are in pain. You're in agony." No. In fact, I feel the elder brother was probably happy that the younger fellow went. "Now, all that belonged to the father is mine." Friends, let me ask you, am I touching some nerves somewhere? Do you feel I'm talking about you? Everything is okay until the younger brother comes home. All of us are wonderful Christians until the younger brother comes home and we stand exposed. You know, all the elder brother cared for was the father's wealth, his money, his status, his name, his fame. He was self-righteous. He was doing everything right. He was religious. Remember this. We are all perfect until the younger brother comes home and our true nature is exposed. We're all perfect. Somebody once said, Christians are more guilty of the sin of reaction than of action. I want to talk about a tale of two brothers. I want you to just look at these two brothers. Look at their sins. Look at the younger son. When you look at the younger son, his sins are so visible. He's a rebel. He's demanding money from the father. He takes the money. He goes to a faraway place. He sins. Everybody knows he's been with a prostitute. He's been gambling. He's been partying. He's been with the ladies here. He's been doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. Blatant. Brazen sin. Out in the open. But the power elder brother, nobody knows. He's a good man. But I want you to know, when the younger brother comes home, his sins are exposed. The younger brother, his sins are the sins of the flesh. But the elder brother's sins are sins of the spirit. In his self-righteousness, he would never be willing to forgive and accept. He would never be willing to reconcile. He was always right. Both are sinners. Both are sinners. Both of them never knew the father. The younger fellow, when he's coming home, he's already prepared a speech so he can be a hired servant in the house. He never thought he would be accepted as a son. See, he writes a speech. The eldest son, he never expected the father to forgive this younger fellow. This is a rascal. He looted our family. Why would the father forgive him completely? Both of these guys never understood the father. Both of them were distant from the father. They were only connected to the father's wealth, but never to the father's heart. Somebody shout hallelujah here. Oh, I didn't say whisper hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Look to your neighbor, please. All right, are they attentive? All right, here we go. Number four, both are lost. The younger fellow is lost in sin and immorality. He was completely irreligious. He was in sin. But the elder son is lost in morality and in religion. By doing all the right things, he's still far away. But when you look at the contrast, there's a different outcome. The younger brother, even though he rebelled and he comes back repentant, and the father forgives him and he's back saved as a son. The elder brother, he's lost even though he's with the father's house. The lover of prostitutes is saved, but the morally right person is lost. In the end, you find the one inside partying with the father. But the one who was inside the house is now standing outside arguing with the father. My friends, we all feel we are all perfect, you know? Until we are faced with the younger brother. All we need is a younger brother to come home. Somebody, sometimes it may be the mother-in-law. Or the sister-in-law. Or the brother. Or the uncle. Or that council member. Or that person who troubled us. We just need the younger brother to come home and suddenly our inner nature comes out. Things that nobody saw comes out. Can I say something to you? All of us have a bit of the spirit of the elder brother. You may not agree with me. All you need is a visitation by the younger brother. All of us have the nature of the elder brother. We are all perfect people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look perfect. You look perfect. Amen. Until our brother comes back home. I want to talk about the father's loving heart. The whole story is about a father. He was betrayed by his younger son. The younger son said, I wish you were dead. When he said, give me my inheritance. He took the wealth and went to a faraway country. There were no emails, no SMS, no iPhones, no iMessages, no FaceTime, no Twitter, nothing. No letters. We don't even know which country he went to. There's no communication. For years together, we don't know where he has gone. And the father is longing. He's in pain. He's in agony. On the other hand, he has another son who doesn't care for him or his pain. When he saw his son far away, he runs to him. Hugs him. I mean, that guy smells like a pig. But he hugs him. He kisses him. He calls the servant and says, quick, bring a robe. Put a ring on his finger. Bring sandals to his feet. Slaughter the fatted calf. Fatted calf. And let's celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. My friends, we will never understand the loving heart of the father. You know, I wanted to say this. Many times we are in Christian field. We're always with Christian friends. We're in care cells. We're in Christian youth groups. We're in choir. We're in celebration. We are in meetings here and there. Always. And I want you to know, we are so busy doing everything in the house, we never connect with the father. We never connect with the Father. Recently, when I was in the States, they stored a statistics of people that read the Bible. In the year 2022, 22% of Americans stopped reading the Bible. 22% of Americans stopped reading the Bible. Let me ask you, everybody who is in the church, how many of you have read the Bible this week? Lift your hands. This week. You have? Praise God, we're doing better than America. Listen, listen. We are not only part of a fellowship, we need fellowship with the Father. We need communion with the Father. We need communion with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Parents, if you're in your home, let your children see you read the Bible. Let your children see you pray. Don't go to your room, close the door and pray. Let them see you pray. Let them see you read the word. Let them see you witness. A lot of time, me and my wife, we would be in the room. We would pray or we'll read the word. And then I said, you know what? Our kids are not seeing that. And I was telling my wife, the children don't get to see. They kind of think like we never read the Bible. No. Our children need to see. Parents, I'm talking to you. They need to see your love for the Father. Not just busy with church or things that has to do with Christianity. Do you know the Father? The greatest day in the life of the Father was that day when the Son came back home. That was the greatest day in the life of this Father. But you know what? The elder brother never understood it. He would never share it. In fact, I want you to know, the thief on the cross found salvation right there. He said, Lord, remember me. And he said, yes, today you'll have Hyderabadi chai with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We will never understand the fact that there are people who are with the sinners and with prayers. They can find salvation. They can be forgiven of all their sins. We would be religiously reading everything and doing everything proper, but in our heart, we sin more. The elder son was more guilty of sin than the younger one. The sins of the spirit are more deadly than the sins of the flesh. The elder son was angry and upset. He refused to accept his brother. He refused to join in the party. The last we see this loving father is him coming out of his house and pleading with the son and say, son, we had to celebrate. Your son was, your brother, this brother of yours was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, he's found. All I have belongs to you. Why do you even ask me that you need a goat? You can take this house, you can take anything you want. You don't have to ask me. You're not a slave. You're my son. You don't even have to ask me. You just take what you want. All of this belongs to you. You know, sometimes as Christians, we have a slave mentality. We do. We come up with a slave mentality. When you know that everything the Father has belongs to you, you have authority over enemy, over scorpions, over demons. Come on, take your authority and speak against the demons. Amen. You have authority to cast evil spirit out. You have authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But if you have a slave mentality, you're saying, God, if you are willing, please, if you are in your mind, no, 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 no. Jesus never asked you to pray for sickness. He asked you to speak to the sickness. He never asked you to pray to the Father so demons will... He's wanting you to pray to the demon spirit. Hallelujah. A son will speak to the circumstance. A son will speak to the demon spirit. A slave will do the praying part. I'm not saying praying is not important, but there is times you have to speak to the enemy, to the sickness, to the demon. Times like that, you don't pray. You speak, take your authority as a son. Friends, let's take our rightful place as a son. The love of God that melted the heart of the younger brother hardened the heart of the elder brother. I want to say that again. The love of God that melted the heart of the younger brother hardened the heart of the elder brother. I'm going to call the worship team to please come. This is a story that abruptly ended. It abruptly stopped. There is no conclusion to the story. In other words, all we see in the end is the father coming in and pleading with the elder son. We never know how the story concluded. Jesus is the master storyteller. Did the elder son get convinced? Did he go back to the party with the father? Did he get reconciled with the younger brother? Did he forgive him? Did he accept him? Did they all live happily ever after? We do not know. But you can see the anger in the hearts of the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law when he exposed the motive of these religious leaders when he would sit with the sinners and talk to them and walk with them and be with them. It exposed the heart of the religious people. I believe it is time for us to just examine our own heart. Would you do that? I want you to close your eyes and let the Holy Spirit, just talk to him and say, Holy Spirit, I look all perfect on the outside. But every once in a while, the younger brother comes. And I react so badly. I never know I have jealousy or anger or bitterness or rage. I do not know if I have that vengeance. But God, every once in a while that comes. The elder brother comes. The spirit of the elder brother comes. God, I pray that you would cleanse my heart. Wash me. Help me to know the Father. Help me to know the heart of the Father. Help me to understand the love of the Father. Help me to behave like the Father. Help me to know that anyone that comes to you, you will forgive. I want to ask you, is there anybody that is here struggling with sin? I want you to lift your hand. The father that was willing to forgive the elder son and forgive the younger son, he's right here this morning and he will forgive you. If you want to get right with God, just lift your hands and say, I need forgiveness. If you want forgiveness for your sins, come on, lift your hand. Will you pray this after me? Dear Jesus, everything looked perfect on the outside for me. You know my heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Wash me of every sin. I want to get right with you, God. I do not want to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I want to get right with God. Forgive my sin. Wash me with your precious blood. I believe you're my Savior. My Lord, my God, I will follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Be a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away. Oh, cast me not away. Let's stand to our feet. Thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and the new arising within me. Father, thank you for speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. Oh, help us to fall in love with the Father. Help us to know you, Father. We get so busy with everything. Help us to read the Word. Help us to know your heart. Help us to love you, Lord. not just the blessings that come our way. Help us to love you, we pray. Now, dear Lord, I ask your blessing upon your people. May your face shine upon them. May you walk with them. Grant us victory every day of our lives. Help us to be a witness for you through this week. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen. If you would like more information about our church or would like to make a comment, please mail us at info@newlifeag.in. God bless you.